everybody. I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
Welcome back to Believe in Colts. I'm Lawrence Oren. With me, as usual, is my guy, bam, Donald Thomas. And today, we are going to go over a critical, well, let's face it, all right, there's going to be quite a few of those critical games the rest of the season, but the next game is always the most important. And this Sunday, the Indianapolis Colts head to Cincinnati, right down the interstate, and face those Bengals. No Joe Burrow, no problem. At least that's what Cincinnati Bengals fans are thinking right now. Donald, what is your initial reaction take of this upcoming game?
I don't think Bengals fans are thinking that it's going to be that easy, to be honest with you. I mean, if they watch football, if they have been, you know, paying attention to anything that's going on in the league, and they've been seeing the way the Colts have been playing as of late, and, you know, scrappy and finding ways to win. So I don't think they think this is going to be just an easy, super easy game. They can't think that, right? You, as a fan, you do, right? You think, oh, my team's going to win, but it ain't going to be as easy as you think.
Yeah, I'm just saying that from a fan's perspective of going, well, you know, our backup quarterback seems to be looking just like Joe Burrow out there. At least he did in the last game, right? I mean, it was very similar numbers, but we're going to dive into that a little bit deeper here in just a moment. But first, I got to remind everybody that BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, NFL, NBA, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today. Sign up. Get in on the action. Remember, you can use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I don't know how much of that game that you watched, but yeah, that backup come in this past game against the Jaguars. And of course, we all know that, you know, the quarterback Trevor Lawrence went out with a high ankle sprain. A lot of controversy over that whole situation in the first place. But he comes in, he holds off the Jaguars, he wins himself a game, keeps them in the playoff hunt. Would you say that getting pressure on Browning might be the Indianapolis Colts' number one focus this for the defense this upcoming Sunday?
Oh, 1,000%, right? So main focus is definitely going to be do what you do and just play Colts defense as of late. And that means getting after the quarterback. So that's definitely going to happen, right? And so if you can rattle him, get to the quarterback, Jacksonville didn't do a great job of getting to him. You know, and so you got a backup that comes in middle of the game and he's not really expecting to play, and he knows the shoes he has to fill is right there before he even gets the ball in his hands is wearing on his mental. And, you know, their offensive line did a good job of keeping him clean and able to make throws. And so they picked up blitzes. They did a fairly decent job at protecting him. I don't know if that's going to fare as well this week, you know, with the way the Colts are able to pressure the quarterback, though.
Yeah, the Indianapolis Colts, they don't blitz very often. They seem to be able to get to the quarterback with their front four, which allows seven guys to, you know, clog up the passing lanes, which really, you know, is exactly what every defensive coordinator wants to do. But a lot of them don't have the player ability to do so, right? Mm-hmm. This week, the Indianapolis Colts get one of their, I don't know, I'd say he's one of the fan favorites last couple of years, Grover Stewart, defensive tackle, is going to be sitting beside DeForest Buckner up there in the middle of that D-line. How big is the return of Grover Stewart for this game?
It's huge, you know, but I really don't expect him to have a ton of big plays to be made out there. He just has to get back into game shape. He's been off for a very, very long time, and he probably took a ton of reps this week just trying to get his, you know, feet back under him, so to say. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be really hard for him to just come back in and make plays. He's going to make some plays, but he's not going to be in there for, you know, 80% of the snaps. Like, so it'll help out the defense, but I think it's going to be, you know, a couple games at least before he gets back into, you know, mid-season form, so to speak.
we've seen on offense, the Indianapolis Colts have been able to move the ball in multiple different ways. Even with Jonathan Taylor out, where when Jonathan Taylor goes out, we start passing freaking football. What do you feel like would be the primary thing that the Indianapolis Colts want to do against this Bengals defense?
Run the ball. They're going to have to establish the run game. And I think that there's yards to be had in the run game if they do that. You know, last week was – unless it's we're up over 150 yards rushing. I just feel like there was room still to be had for them to run the football. And I think on this, you know, Bengals defense, you can do that. You saw the way the Bengals were able to move the – I mean, you saw the way Jacksonville was able to move the football on them last week. And they were really susceptible to the screen game as well, those quick passes. You know, I think that there's going to be a lot of stuff underneath that's going to be available to the Colts as opposed to just trying to throw the deep ball. We know that's not our game, but we did show that last week. So that's definitely on the menu. But I think really getting everything established around the line of scrimmage, controlling and dominating the line of scrimmage is going to be key in this game.
Absolutely. Right now, Shane Steichen, he's got me fired up. Every game, he's got two or three plays that are just outstanding and that I've never seen the Colts play before. And I say this every episode, but it just continues week after week after week after week. And I got a feeling by the way the Indianapolis Colts are playing, the way they're reacting, they have finally 100% bought in to this offensive scheme and Shane Steichen. Is that how you're feeling as well? And how important is that for the players to buy into the offensive scheme?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, that's the hidden thing about coaching that people don't realize. Like, you can be a great coach and design X's and O's all day long on how you think this is going to work, fit, how you want to utilize guys, how you feel like they will best, you know, expose the weakness of the defense. But all that's great, fine and dandy, but you also have to take in the human factor of it, an element as well, of getting an actual 11 grown men to 15 grown men or whoever's in that rotation to believe in your process. And so I think that the Colts offense, if they're not even believing in it, it's just becoming what they do because this is what's being called and what's being asked to do. I think that there's even more that we can get out of this, out of everyone on the offensive unit once they fully believe and buy in. And I think that that just comes from, you know, time spent with one guy who's calling the shots. And so I just know, like, you know, in my playing days, like when you really rocked with your offensive coordinator and he really made you feel like this is the best for the offense and this is how we're going to beat this team and really buy in, you know, It takes the game, it takes the offensive game up a whole nother level because, yeah, X's and O's are great. There's a ton of smart guys in the league and tons of smart coordinators and head coaches that call offenses, but does it really work? And do these guys believe? Like, because you guys will be in the huddle and a play will get called and we'll, like, look at each other like, this ain't going to work. Like, you know? And so, like, but when it's called and you know your coordinator is calling that call because he believes that this is the best thing for you guys to do and you can look over and see him and he's looking at you guys like, let's go, let's get it. It's a whole different ball game then, man. It's special.
Yeah. And it really helps players to buy in and believe, even if on paper or in practice, they're like, you know, that doesn't work or something. But when you're on the game, on the field, right, in a game and play after play after play of these weird plays that he's drawn up, not only succeeds, but succeeds in big plays, big yardage, time after time after time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that just that helps players no matter what, you know, just buy into something like that. At least it did for me when I was playing, granted, not professionally, but still, I had an offensive coordinator that liked to throw in trick plays here and there. And every once in a while they'd work. And then that would keep you on that cusp of, all right, when he calls them, they might work, even though they didn't work in practice. Every defense is different, right? Every defense is different. So maybe he'll, you know, catch a defense off guard or something. Gardner Minshew, man. Is it Minshew mania now? I mean, have you seen – Did you see his dance and his post game dance in the locker room? I mean, he was getting down. Oh my goodness, he was having some fun in there.
Well, I mean, as he should be having fun right now. Like, you know, there's a lot of doubters out there still. There's a lot of people that have counted him out, and he knows that. He hears it, he sees it, he reads it, he feels it in the stadium. He hears people yelling. And so, like, when you can string wins, winning the NFL is hard. To win in the NFL is hard. So when you can string those along and you're the starting quarterback and you know that your play is pretty predicated on you playing well, not making mistakes, like, you know, like, you feel good after a game. So now, is it Minshew mania? I don't think it's Minshew mania. Minshew mania was back in Jacksonville when he came out of nowhere and no one knew who he was. And they're like, Minshew, like Cashew, like, what are you talking about? And he played well. Like, that's when he put his name out there. That's the only reason why he has a job right now, is because when he got an opportunity, he played well. But I think he really just shocked a lot of people because they didn't think he could do what he could do, right? And there wasn't a ton of expectations from him when he was Minshew mania. It was just go out there, sling the ball around, go hug your dad after the game. Cameras put on your dad every time you make a good throw. It's almost like my guy out in San Fran, Purdy. It's almost like him, right? When Purdy came out of nowhere, you're like, who, Mr. Rel-? Like, and then he was able to sling the ball around a little bit. Now, I feel like there's still, if we want to say, like, there's a Purdy mania, but I don't know if there's a Minshew mania. I think right now everyone kind of knows, like, he's reached his plateau of who he's going to be as a quarterback. I mean, we're just happy that it's enough to get wins, but it's not him that's getting these wins, and I think everyone's starting to realize that. Like, it's the defense, it's the plays, like, by, you know, other guys have elevated their play. People that you didn't expect to be, you know, like, make plays, like your guy Cincinnati, right? Like, when we said earlier in the season, like, you're like, Alec Pierce, my pace is running thin. Well, finally now he's starting to step up. And he made some plays. So is it really? I don't think it's Minshew mania. I think it's like, all right, guys around you make plays. Right, defense, ball out, get to the quarterback. That all that allows me to do is to be able to manage a game and keep us in the game, and then, like, let the chips fall where they may, where somebody's got to make a play, somebody's got to block a punt, somebody's got to get this pick, somebody's got to get this sack, fumble, six, like, you know what I'm saying, like, stuff like that, right? But I think the Minshew mania is long gone.
So what sounds like to me is you're saying this is a team game, and, you know, he is surrounded by playmakers on all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams.
And, yeah, I mean, like, not
just one guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, your chances of winning with subpar performance, when I can block two punts and I return one for a touchdown, gives me a chance to be a mediocre quarterback. Now, I'm not saying he's mediocre. But what I'm saying is he elite? Right.
I'm not putting him top 10.
Okay, there you go. So, but he's doing enough to have them over 500 in the playoff race. Like, he's cut down his turnovers. He's a smart guy. He knows his limitations. He knows where he lacks in his game. And he's just trying to freaking hide the chinks in the armor. He's doing a good job of it. And also, Shane Steichen is doing a good job of it, too. Like, let me put this guy in position to be the best that he can be. But guess what? I also got to call your number, and you got to make some plays. You got to make some throws for me now here and there. You got to make some good decisions now. Like, you're an NFL quarterback. Like, I can't hold your hand the whole time. I can't baby you in this whole situation. Like, we're paying you money to do a job, and we need you to do it. So, yeah. Like, I'm dancing too if I know I'm a backup quarterback and somebody's got to pay me if I keep winning games like this. I'm dancing.
Absolutely.
What you want me to do? I got moves, right? So, you know, so, like, yeah, he's happy with it. I'm happy for him, man. I love to see the individual mental battles and the people jump over those hurdles, man. Like, and they get people and get an opportunity. Like, that's where I'm, like, excited about. When I see a guy come from nowhere, he plays well and he steps up, and he just, like, a Zaire Franklin kind of situation on defense. You know, where a guy who you're like, who, like, from what school, like, I never watched seen him in college. Like, now all of a sudden he's a perennial playmaker. He's on defense and the league knows his name. It's one thing if the local fan base knows your name, or whoever watches G just your team knows your name. But when you're mentioned around the league as a top guy at any position, offense, defense, special teams, like now you're starting to make your name known. And all that does is increase your value when it's time for you to hit the market, or the current team will see how much you value me too. So I just love to see these guys start making plays. Like Alec Pierce is one guy that's really stepped up on the offense. I mean, when you look at the tight end just came back and had that big catch.
Kylan Granson.
Seeing him make plays, like come back and make plays and block well. And when your number's called, you get a catch and you get a ton of yards off. Like, I love to see defense. Look at, like, if you really look at our defense, and I don't mean to jump off the – just go off, like, fly off the cusp here, but, like, we look at our defense, like, a lot of these guys coming out weren't highly touted guys, right? Like, you're doing a good job of putting a team around. So, and these guys are starting to play well now. So, like, when we look at it, when you say, like, well, the GM, I mean, he must, people just, I don't know what the love affair is with him, but, like, sometimes it takes – time to build something when you can envision it, and then you got to get the right pieces in place. And it's a lot of trial and error, and sometimes you hope that you get enough time to finish your hypothesis, right? Like, this is just a huge experiment, but when it starts to come together slowly but surely, it feels good. And you're gonna have chinks in the, you're gonna have bumps in the road, you're gonna get your franchise quarterbacks gonna be out for the rest of the season. Well, good thing is I got an insurance plan over the summertime bringing this guy in, right? Well, I didn't really want him to play, but I knew if he had to step in for a hot second, he could do that. He's shown that he can play in the NFL as opposed to a lot of the other guys that we've had over the number of years. And our backup situation was, you didn't even want that guy freaking even suiting up on Sunday. Like, bro, stay home. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when you look at it from the standpoint of that, like, this team is being really built together and is coming together at the right time really well. Now, are we Super Bowl contenders? I don't know. I'm not going to go fly and just be like crazy like fan and say, yeah, we'll go Super Bowl, because there are some teams that are established and know how to play in the postseason. And when you get to the postseason, that all matters too. I don't care how well you're clicking in the regular season. How much postseason experience do I have on my team right now so that when we get there, these guys really know how to play? Because that's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some guys on this team that know how to, you know, handle postseason. Obviously, our head coach, you know, as well. Speaking of the head coach, and you were talking about Chris Ballard and, you know, the players that he's gotten and all that. Look, they're playing very well right now with a lot of key players that have missed major time this season, right? Almost every major spot has had one of their top guys, if not the top guy, miss major time. Is the success currently, do you credit that to the GM, or do you credit it, or do you say, well, Shane Steichen is getting this success in spite of, you know, the situation? That, because you're hearing it both ways out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, so like I credit both of them, because it's one thing as a GM to where you're picking and choosing the pieces that go on the chessboard. That's one thing. That's your mandatory job. Like, that's your main focus, is looking at this thing from a bird's eye view and putting this piece here, this piece here, this piece here, this piece here. But now I just put the pieces down. Now what's next? Now the actual player that's sitting there, now he's got to freaking make the chess move. You see what I'm saying? So, like, and when I say the chess move is making sure that everyone buys into what you're saying, making sure that everyone gels well and plays well together, moving people, starting guys, giving guys more snaps, like taking snaps away from some guys, like changing up different packages, you know what I'm saying? And then getting is one thing. Getting guys motivated is one thing. Keeping them motivated and believing in you is a whole nother obstacle. And it's very, very hard to think about if you've got 5 months of straight laser-like tunnel vision focus to be a model prospect, or whatever you want to call it, of what you're preaching. You preach that you are this, that, and this. every single day from OTAs all the way through the season. You got to be that guy. You can't waver when times are bad. You got to keep guys focused because guess what? Ultimately, you're the leader. You're the head coach. You're leading your team in the battle. You're the freaking general that says charge, you know what I'm saying, in the Revolutionary War, right? Like, you're that guy. And if they don't believe in that, they don't believe in you, how many motivated soldiers do you have on the field when Sunday hits? So, yeah, I give it to both of them. Like, you got to have insurance pieces. Well, we got this guy in the fold, right? So, like, if something happens here, we can plug this guy in here. But guess what? Yeah, we plugged him in. Now, the moment might be a little big. Hey, let me come here, man. You're here for a reason. We believe in you. I believe in you. I know you can do this. I know you got this. I know you understand the packages. We've been talking about this. We've been getting reps. We're going to make sure on Sunday, I want you to go out there and be the player that we brought you here to be. And that plays in the guy's psyche, and that makes the guy play better in the situation. When I know that the guys behind me, I know the guys wearing the suits up top. I know the guy with the headset on. I know he believes in me. I know that they really want me on the field. They're not just, oh, shit, we got to have so-and-so out there. Who else? Who's on the street right now that we can bring in? That ain't a good feeling. So it's a hard task and it's a hard job. And I give any head coach and any GM, when you find that winning formula, it ain't just the guy who's doing the Campbell commercials too, right? It's the guy that's freaking who essentially is going to hire and fire you, right? Because he had to put you in that position that he felt like this is the best guy to lead my team for, you know, 18, 19 weeks, you know, in the NFL season.
I have a weird feeling that there are people out there that watch my shows, our show together on a consistent basis, and they probably have a drinking game and take a shot every time I say absolutely in response to something you say.
Yeah.
Look, the last four games the Indianapolis Colts have had, it's not exactly been against world beaters, right? I think the best record holder, three, four wins, I think, is the most wins that any of the teams that we faced in the last 4 weeks. Is this Bengals game a validity game to the four wins that we've had the last four games?
Nah, I don't see it being a validity game as far. I think that the Colts have proved that they're valid already. I think it's more of a validity game if Joe Burrow was going to be the quarterback. But when you beat a team who has an asterisk next to their name, now you can say that about the Colts too, but I think our asterisk was put on us way sooner than their asterisk was. So this is who we are, right? This is like I don't care what team it is, when you try to come in and say that we're still the same team, where everyone's going to rally and play better in the middle to later half of the season with a new quarterback. That's a different team. That ain't going to be this. They're not going to just click on all cylinders and just pick up where they left off. So validity game, I won't give it that. It's a must win. And I think every game here on out is a must win on our schedule, just from how things are shaping out. I think AFC South is up for grabs at this point.
Yep. Absolutely. Like
Trevor Lawrence, that's another shot. Trevor Lawrence is out for an extended amount of weeks, and they're gonna push it for him to get back, and this ain't gonna be right, and he's gonna play like crap. And I'm just gonna say it right now because it's gonna happen. It happens every year. And they're so desperate to run into these playoffs, like they've been thinking it's about to happen all year, and now they freaking quarterback goes down. They're hurting. So
I don't like that idea. I would let CJ Beathard play, you know,
No.
I know what you're saying. I was the coach, I'd be like, "Nah, dude, you're sitting after you was bad. You couldn't even stand." You know, I mean,
yeah. But they're over here talking about something. He wasn't ruled out for this week's game. I'm like, this dude just got freaking folded up like a pretzel with his ankle fell on, stepped on by a 330-pound man. Like, what are we talking about right now? But this is the NFL. Like, they will rush it back. Like, he's going to get endless amounts a day of treatment. And what's going to happen is just going to rush him back. But I'm saying the Colts have an opportunity here to – it comes down to the Colts and the Texans. Who wants it more?
Yeah.
Who wants it? Who wants it?
To be fair, he's not ruled out, but Shane Steichen didn't rule out Jonathan Taylor for this week. So, you know,
I mean, you have a valid point. You have a valid point. But I'm just saying, man, like, let's just – like, who are you fooling with the game plan? You ain't fooling, you're not fooling the Colts. You're not fooling anyone. Who's your next opponent? You're not fooling them. Like we know he ain't going to be in there. We know this is the guy that we saw for the rest of the game. Let's watch this film here. We got a good amount of, you know, at least, you know, half a game where we can really dissect and see how they changed their offense, what they were doing, what's his capabilities, what are his limits, right? And, like, let's figure it out. But we're not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, he's going to be in the game. He ain't going to be in the heat. Listen, he ain't going to be. He ain't doing nothing for the next 3-4 weeks. He shouldn't. But that ain't going to be the case because it's going to come down to a very tight AFC South race.
Yeah, yeah. I've stated many times I've had really bad high ankle sprains, and you need 4 to 6 weeks for that sucker. You know, might be able to come in 3 to 4, but it's general 4 to 6 just so that, you know, you got strength. And you might be able to walk out there with, you know, a lot of support around it. That's going to limit your mobility, obviously, like a ton. So I think we're about at the end of it now. Let's talk about predictions. Indianapolis Colts in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Who you got and why?
Man, with all that being said, with all that we said today about everything, they still have the Bengals a favorite in this game, which is mind-blowing to me.
I think the Colts are by one. I think they're net. I think it's Colts minus one.
The last time I checked, it was Cincinnati minus 2.5.
Colts Bengals odds. Let me look at that real quick. What the Indy Star has? Oh, it won't let me see Indy Star because I'm not.
I hate when it. Indy Star, stop doing that, man. Like, stop doing that. I'm not subscribing over there. I just want the answer. I just want to see what you wrote for 2 seconds. I'm not paying for that.
Now they have changed it. Bengals minus one. Earlier this week it was Colts minus one. So
yes, I don't know what's prompted this change. Listen, the Bengals have a good offensive line, in my opinion. They got, you know, I know Joe Burrow had his hiccups in there, but, like, for the most part, like, when you look at DeJuan Jones over there at right tackle, like, I don't think he's given up more than a couple sacks the whole season, if that. Like, the kid's playing lights out as a rookie. He's a big human being. I had the honor of training him a few times after he got drafted. He's a good player. It's going to be an interesting matchup to see, you know, Pay and all those guys try to get past him on that line. And so, you know, like, to be honest with you, like, the pressure might have to come from the middle. I don't know how many sacks you get just up the gut like that. I think that's what's really changing this game, to be honest with you. If I had to guess, like, it's got to be up front, like, with this matchup. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I mean, man, you got Ja'Marr Chase out there. He's a game changer in the secondary. Wow. Colts fans. Is it okay to not, like?
Dude, I don't care what you put down. You know, this is honest opinions here.
I'm going 24-17. No, I'm taking that back. I'm going 21-17 Colts.
21-17 Colts. I think this game goes I think you're going to have a lot of offense in this game. Well, Bengals offense is still pretty good. Browning looked pretty good against the Jackson, but now obviously I don't think that Browning's going to have the same success he had against the when he's playing against the Colts. I think there's going to be a little bit more pressure there. They might now Joe Mixon might run the ball pretty darn well. It just depends on how good our run defense is with Grover Stewart in. But I'm getting more and more faith in our secondary. DJ Baker's out there playing pretty darn good as of late. He seems to be, whenever a star receiver is on his end, he seems to lock them down rather than getting PIs like what he was getting earlier this year. So now, granted, Jalen Jones on the other side, not been playing nearly as good. I think there's going to be a lot of points, a lot of yards. I think the Colts will try to run the ball, but Cincinnati likes to try to stuff that as well. But I feel like we have weapons. We can pass the ball when needed as well. It's going to be a pick your poison game for both teams, both offenses. 31-27 is what I've got. And I think it's going to be, I think last team with the ball wins. I think someone's going to score a field goal, then another team's going to walk down, score a touchdown. I'm going to go with Colts just because coin flip right now. But you know, I'm a Colts fan, so I want to root for them. But yeah, I think it's just really tight, and it's going to come down to who has the ball last.
Okay. Well, that, I think that that's a fair assessment. I think this is going to be a more physical game where it's going to be a little bit lower scoring than 30 points.
Well, I think it could be a very physical game. These two teams play each other quite a bit, and they're just right down the road from each other.
You know,
they're not very far. They practice against each other in training camp quite a bit as well.
Play every year in training camp, yeah.
Yeah, they know each other pretty darn good. We're talking about a Cincinnati team that, you know, their quarterback and wide receiver used to come to Indy games to watch and learn from Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think it was Ocho Cinco or Chad Johnson and was it Palmer? I think it was.
Carson.
Yep. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode. Any final words?
No, you know, just Colts control their own destiny. They got to win out, in my opinion. Every game is very, very, very important. We can't afford to have any slip-ups. And I think it just became even more important starting this week with the injury to Lawrence down in Jacksonville. This division's up for grabs. And if they want to not have to play in a wild card game, you know, then this is it. Every game they got to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a situation where, see, that was two shots right there, back to back. This is a situation where the Colts have to take advantage and take care of business themselves. All they got to do is win and they're in, right? So they don't have to worry about other people. It's just about getting playoffs. And then once you reach there, then we see what happens at that point. I think that's going to do it for us here on Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. I'm Lawrence Owen. That's Donald Thomas. And as usual, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Do you believe?